Thank you, Dr. Dotre, for that introduction. So this morning I wanted to start out with a picture of a cotton field. And so right off the bat, you notice that from the burn down application, there's not a very good control of Palmer amaranth. And so that brings me to the point that, similar to what Wyatt said, 1.1 Palmer amaranth per meter of row can equate up to a 54% yield loss. And that was conducted by Morgan et al. In 2001. And just shows the importance of starting off clean in any production system, especially a cotton crop. And so that brings me to wanting to find the utility of brake applied alone and in combination with other residual herbicides in cotton. And so I think it's safe to assume that we all know that Palmer amaranth is one of the most problematic weeds to the Mid-South as well as the whole country as far as crop production is concerned. And so Palmer amaranth has been shown to be resistant to six sites of action, not just limited to the state of Arkansas, but throughout the Mid-South and other parts of the country. And so it's resistant to ALS, PPO, HPPD, EPSPS, mitosis, as well as photosystem II inhibitors, which that just goes to show how big of a problem Palmer amaranth can be in a variety of different crop production systems. And so brakes, chemical name is fluridone, and it's a group 12 pigment inhibitor, and Jacob touched on this in his presentation. And it provides broad-spectrum pre-emergence weed control with both broadleafs and grasses, and so that means it can be a good tool for resistant Palmer amaranth populations that we might be facing. And it also has a long residual activity, which would also mean that we have fewer weeds that we need to control post-emergence. And so in the brake product label, it's not very specific as far as how much rainfall is needed to activate this product fully. But it does say that moisture is necessary to activate this product. And typically for most pre-emergent herbicides, half an inch would be sufficient. But in previous research conducted by Hill in 2015 at Arkansas, it shows that more than half an inch of rainfall is required for full activation. However, that does mean that maybe we're seeing more activity throughout the season as we get more rainfall, not just meaning that we need more than half an inch for weed control activity. And I wanted to show this diagram. I don't know if y'all are familiar with KOC, but that essentially means the binding capabilities of a herbicide and its affinity for the soil. And half-life essentially is showing in days the residual activity that we can expect to see from brake or from herbicides. And so I'd just like to point out that brake has a KOC and a half-life of 1,000 and then 97 days as far as half-life, which is second behind dual as far as residual activity when comparing those half-life. And there can be a number of factors affecting the way these herbicides bind to soil and become available to the plant. And so several of these would be attachment to soil colloids, ionization, soil moisture, and soil pH, and those can all just affect how these herbicides react in the soil. And some common symptomology that you could expect to see from a pigment-inhibiting herbicide would be that it's ultimately systemic, so what you're going to see is new growth being affected the most as it's uptaken by the roots and translocated to the new growth of the plant. And ultimately, you're going to see a bleaching appearance in the plant as well. And that's very, very classic symptomology of this particular group of herbicides. In this diagram that I've put into my presentation is adapted directly from the brake product label, although it's not the same image, but it is essentially the same program that you would use in a Liberty Link cotton system. And so what we would want to start out with is obviously a burn down application, and then moving into a pre where C-Pro recommends brake at planting as a residual herbicide. And what we would be doing is overlapping residuals with the first post application with Liberty and Dual, and then the second with Liberty and Warrant, providing a different chlorosetamide herbicide for residual control, and then following that with a PS2, which would be Diron, plus MSMA. And basically what that is showing is brake's role and how we want brake to be, or the systematic approach and the role that brake would have in this system. And so our hypothesis for this experiment is that brake applied in combination with other residual herbicides in cotton will provide greater Palmer amaranth control than brake alone. And then we want to determine the efficacy of brake when applied alone or in combination with other residual herbicides in cotton. This experiment was conducted in 2018 in near Marion, Arkansas, A Delta Grow Extend Flex variety was planted at 45,000 or 48,000 seeds per acre with 4-row by 12-foot by 20-foot plots. This was a single-factor randomized complete block with 4 replications, and all applications were made using a CO2 pressurized backpack sprayer at 15 gallons per acre. And here I want to show a list of the treatments. So we have 8 treatments, one being the untreated, and then so if you notice, number 2 would be break alone, and then followed by treatments 3 through 7, which would be break in combination with several herbicides, not just limited to PS2s, PPOs, and we also have, of course, acetamide as well. And if you notice, treatment number 8 would be Cotter and Caprol, which would be a comparable standard to the weed control that we should see, and so which makes it a viable option to compare to. And all these treatments were applied following planting, and then Liberty and Dual were applied 18 days after planting across all treatments. And so for data collection and analysis, ratings of visual crop injury were taken, and because the injury ratings were fairly insignificant, there's very, very minimal injury that we saw. For that purpose, I'm not going to show any of that data today, but percent weed control was taken as well at the same weekly intervals following the last application until 10 weeks after treatment. And so, of course, crop injury was taken on a 0 to 100% scale, 0 being no injury and 100% being crop death, and percent weed control was also taken on a 0 to 100% scale. Soil texture, organic matter, pH, and rainfall data were also recorded, and all data was analyzed in Jump Pro 14, and means being separated using Fisher's protected LSD at an alpha value of 0.05. So here we see Palmer amaranth control at 21 days after treatment, and I'll set up this graph for you really quick. Here on the y-axis we have percent control from 0 to 100%, and on the x-axis we have all of our treatments. And if you notice, there's not too much of a difference in weed control, but we are seeing some significant differences from break all the way through break through Direx, reading that from left to right, when we're comparing to break plus Cotteran at a higher rate, and then Cotteran plus Caprol, which would be the standard. So we're seeing the lowest weed control from Cotteran plus Caprol in that system. And also at 21 days after treatment, I ran contrast comparing break to several different scenarios with break. And so for the first one, we see break versus break plus a PS2 herbicide, and that has a p-value of 0.008, which would be significant, and that indicates that break was significantly better than break plus a PS2 herbicide for this experiment. And then our next one, we have break plus a PS2 versus break plus reflex, and that has a p-value of 0.807, which shows that that is not significant, and we can't make a comparison there. But also for the last one, we have break versus break plus any additive being PS2, chlorocetamide, or any other herbicide. And so that is ultimately significant as well, but also showing that break is in fact a better treatment in that system. And so these next two graphs are set up the same way as the initial 21 days after treatment graph, with on the y-axis percent control, and then on the x-axis the treatments. And really, I'm not going to spend too much time here, but we are seeing the same trend, that ultimately our Cotteran plus Caprol standard is the lowest performing treatment, with break plus Cotteran and break plus Cotteran at a higher rate not being too far behind. And then here, like I said, we have the same scenario. And so 12 weeks after treatment, for that purpose, since Cotteran and Caprol was one of our worst treatments and the standard that we want to compare to, here I have on the left side of the screen Cotteran plus Caprol at 32 ounces per acre, and then break at 16 ounces per acre. And from the pictures, they speak for themselves, saying that break by far has better control. And also keeping in mind that we're not looking at a whole systematic and integrated approach here with other herbicides, such as what Jacob did with his post applications and post directed. And so we're strictly looking at pre-emergent activity and how long these residuals can hold. And with that, I ran an aggression analysis showing residual activity using inverse predictions and 95% confidence intervals to give me on the y-axis Palmer amaranth control and percent, and then days after treatment on the x-axis. And what I want to do with this is show at 80% control, we're seeing up to 50 to 65% residual with any treatment containing break. So that's either break alone or any of the treatments. except Cotteran plus Caprol, and we are seeing a significant difference there between those with break and then those without. And so our Cotteran plus Caprol treatment only held 80% pomeramorant control up to 36 days. So for my results and discussion, we did not observe an increase in pomeramorant control when break applied in combination with other residual herbicides, so we reject our hypothesis. And all treatments with break alone or in combination with break demonstrated greater pomeramorant control than the Cotteran plus Caprol standard. And so with that, I would argue that still all these treatments that we observed or that we conducted research on did provide acceptable control of pomeramorant. However, when integrated into a system, can still be of great utility. And so ultimately what we want to encourage, and from a practical standpoint, would be always overlap your residual herbicides so that we're reducing selection pressure from post-herbicides. And that and break gives us a very good option in our herbicide rotation in the future. And for future research, this trial will be replicated in 2019. I would like to conduct an irrigation experiment to quantify the length of residual to get a really good number on how long we could expect break to actually last. And a soil persistence comparison of break and Zoryol, which is norfluorazone, which is in the same chemical family as break, and it has a very long soil residual activity and has carryover to grain sorghum, and so I think it would be beneficial to look at the two and compare them. And those are both carotenoid biosynthesis inhibitors and have a very similar spectrum of control. I'd like to thank Dr. Jason Norsworthy and my fellow weed science colleagues, as well as the Altimer Lab, for helping in conducting this research.